You know how we use cliches or phrases over and over again and they get old? You get tired of them? Sometimes a song is published and you like it for the first 10 or 15 or 20 or 100 times you hear it, but then after that it kind of wears out. Sometimes we've been around the church for so long that our scriptural cliches get old to us. But there's quite a recipe in God's Word for what we need and what we say we want. That passage of Scripture in the book of Chronicles that has been a text for revival preaching or preparation for revival for years. We've heard it over and over again. If my people, which are called by my name, you know that verse. That scriptural cliche or phrasing that we just kind of take a deep sigh and say, oh my, another one of these. But it's quite a recipe for us. Sometimes we are so caught up in our spiritual lives that we fail to see the significance for us as an individual. Because it's far easier for us to point our finger at somebody else rather than look at ourselves and say, this points to me. James has something to say about that. But before we get into James, let's again look at that verse. Just, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways, then we have a tremendous responsibility. We want to point a lot of stuff at God and His responsibility and say that God's doing or God's not doing, but then we fail to really pay a whole lot of attention to what we are doing or not doing. You heard about the son that went to the dad and said, Dad, will you discipline me if I don't do something? He said, well, I guess not. He said, well, I didn't do my homework. You know, what about our spiritual lives and our do's and our don'ts? We can play the game of the words. But is it a reality for all of us that that verse settles into our conscience, not just our subconscious, but into the conscience of our lives, that if my people which are called by my name humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn. James chapter 1 verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filth. Is he talking to sinners here? Well, we would say yes, he probably is. But we look at this and it's the epistle of James. He may be writing to the church, you think? See what else he has to say. But in verse 21, he says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let me read to you from the Amplified. It just gives a whole different picture sometimes, or a more clear picture. I shouldn't say different picture, a clear picture sometimes of what we should be reading. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, and modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which is implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. in a humble, gentle, and modest spirit receive and welcome. I believe that that is the spirit that precedes the spirit of revival. A humble spirit receiving and welcoming the Word of God. The next verse says, "But be doers of the Word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth." You have your Bible open, you follow it in the King James, whatever it is that you have before you. Be ye doers of the Word. That humble spirit that receives and welcomes the Word then is receptive to what God is presenting in the message. Be doers of the Word. Allow it to infiltrate the heart, infiltrate the mind. Make it a pattern in life. Verse 23, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it," have you ever done that? You heard something and you immediately went out from the service and said, "Nope, that's not for me. Nope, that's for somebody else. That wasn't mine tonight." Now, I know that some of you have done the opposite of that. You've gone out and said, "Yes, that was for me." I know that because you've told me that. You've said it. I've never had, that I know of, anybody walk out and say, "Nope, that was for my husband or my wife, but that wasn't for me." Unless it was in a joke. I don't know that anybody's ever said it honestly or from their hearts saying that because they believed that it was for, that was for Robert, that wasn't for me. Robert can go for it, Robert can go do that, and he can go there, but not, I'm not doing that. We probably haven't been real bold or blunt to be able to go out and say something like that. Now, I'm not saying that some of us haven't thought it. But that's what he's saying here. "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror." For he thoughtfully observes himself. The message is there. He observes himself and then he goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. Well, there's a lot of examples that we could look at here of our personal appearance. You ever looked in the mirror and saw something that you didn't like? Some of you are catching on. But the moment you turned away from the mirror and you walked out the door to go to wherever you were going, you forgot what you had seen in the mirror, what you saw in the mirror that dismayed you. Now, if it was a fresh pimple on your forehead, you probably didn't easily forget that. That was probably in your mind. But something that is commonly dismaying to you, you know, the complexion, your hair you don't like, or something about yourself that is constantly dismaying you. I told you about the big mole I had on my nose. You know, there's a little indentation there now. I could look in the mirror, I could see it, I knew it was there. Matter of fact, I could actually see it if I paid attention just by looking straight ahead. I could see it there. But I was so accustomed to it being there that I did not know or think about it when I was out and about until some little kid made some derogatory comment. then I'm suddenly made aware that, yeah, I've got a mole on my nose. Thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he is like. That mole became a point of observation for people. I knew it was there, but I no longer thought about it. Sitting in class one day in college, one of the classmates was seated in front of me, and he had some shaving cream still left on his neck right behind his ear a little bit. He wasn't aware that it was there, apparently. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd have taken it off. Surely he didn't go to class with that on there deliberately. I knew it was there. I saw it. Now, if he'd have taken a mirror and looked at himself this way into the mirror, looking into that mirror, then he could have seen it, you know. I believe that what James is talking about is taking the message, taking the Word of God and presenting it before us and looking at ourselves from every angle that we possibly can, saying, is that me? Is that what you're trying to get at to me? But then immediately leaving and saying, whew, that wasn't me. That had to have been somebody else. Verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Did you see that there? Did you hear that there? He's got the mirror in front of him and he's got the little primping mirror behind him, checking it out. He's looking to see. He is checking, looks carefully into the faultless law. And is faithful to and perseveres in looking into it. He that is an active doer, the obedient to the voice, the obedient to the message, he shall be blessed in his doing. Now we need to mark the distinction here. Matthew Henry tells us to mark the distinction here. He said, it is not for his deeds that any man is blessed, but in his deeds. Do you see that distinction there? Not for his deeds, but within his deeds, within the confines of his obedience, within his action of obedience, being a doer of the word. There may be times that you can hear a sermon every day. Some people love preaching so much that they could sit under preaching every day. You know, put a tape in, a CD in, listen somehow to some preaching on a daily basis. Some people love to hear preaching. That's why some people go to conventions and go to camp meetings. It's because they have multiple opportunities to hear preaching. They thrive on that. Brother Burris was one that was that way. He could sit under preaching. It seemed that he could sit under preaching all day long, 3 or 4 sermons a day. He loved preaching. If it were possible to hear a sermon on a daily basis, every day of your life, that came from an angel from heaven, Okay? Not a Ziegler or not even an Atwell or whoever it is that's your favorite preacher. Not from one of those, but from an angel from heaven, you could hear a sermon preached from God's word on a daily basis from an angel from heaven. You still cannot rest in the hearing only, but in the obedience to what you've heard. Not in the blessed by the deeds, but in the deed, the obedience. It's not in the talking that matters, but in the walking. I believe that that's what James is saying here in this passage of Scripture. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What a revival text. What a subject for us this evening as we are on the brink of hearing, Lord willing, some tremendous messages, truths from God's Word, presented by one of God's messengers. But unless we look into the looking glass of that message, into the looking glass of God's Word, and allow it to be applied to the very innermost part of us so that we are a doer of it. Hearing only doesn't really benefit us. But let's apply it. Before we go home tonight, could we just gather around the front? As many as can, just squeeze right in. Let's have a good season, a good volume of family prayer tonight, that God would help us to be a hearer and a doer of what He gives for us this week. That He would help us to allow that cliched passage of revival text, if my people, which are called by my name, that it would become a reality for us as individuals and as collective body tonight as we prepare in the next few hours for the beginning of another revival meeting that we so desperately need more than just meeting. Can you pray tonight? Would that be your heart's desire to be a doer and not just a hearer? Presentation of the gospel, the presentation of the message, that it becomes a part of our lives. Let's gather in, if you will.